like pack searching through a 7-Eleven. So are the days of our cards.
G'day everyone, welcome to Days of Our Cards with the Mojo King. It's been a while, I've had a bit of surgery, so I had to put it on the back burners. But all good now, the stitches are out, and we're back on track with a new episode this week. And this week, I have a very special guest by the name of Paul Richardson. G'day, Richo.
G'day, Mojo King. How are we?
Very good. What I've got you in for today is just to talk a little bit about yourself, how you got into collecting, you know, your passion for it, etc. So we'll get started. We'll talk a bit about your background anyway. And what I like to do with everyone's background is your sporting background.
My sporting background. Okay, well, played a bit of cricket, a bit of football, a bit of basketball, and as some people may know, I'm in defence. So I played a bit in service sports and got a little bit more serious in the Defence Force leagues.
Did you reach any great heights in any of the sports you played?
Cricket, I managed to get up to the A grade and win a grand final for the Ballajura Cricket Club.
But, okay.
That was about it. Footy, I played for Laverton, out at Laverton.
Yep.
And up in Sydney, I played for a team called Parramatta Holroyd and also the Penrith Rams.
Penrith Rams. So you, well, that's a lot of different areas. We better tell people that why you move around, I guess.
Yeah, well, being part of defence, part of that means that I go where I'm needed, and that involves moving from base to base. And most of my career has been going from Western Australia to eastern side of Australia, predominantly in, you know, Sydney, Richmond area.
Yep.
But over the years, I've managed to go east-west, and on one occasion, as you know, recently, I managed to go south and spend 5 years in Melbourne.
And you have to move every so often, don't you, a certain amount of years?
Normally, you'll get a minimum of 3 years, and if you're lucky, you can get extension on that a couple of times to get you out to 5 years. Or if you're even luckier, you can get a sideways posting and get 3 and 3, so you can get up to 6 years. I have been fortunate enough to have an 8-year posting in Perth in the early or mid-90s to early 2000s, back when I sort of took off from sports card collecting.
Okay, and you're actually originally from Perth?
I am, I'm a Perth boy. Born
and bred?
Born and bred, first generation, I must say. My parents are 10-pound Poms.
Okay, there you go.
That'll probably explain all my whinging.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't bring that up, but if you want to bring that up, yeah, probably. Now, you've been struck down by some major injuries as well.
Had 4 knee reconstructions.
So that took a little bit of away from your sporting career?
Yep. I did the first one playing inter-service basketball. I was quite competitive, playing a lot of high-grade cricket, basketball and touch footy at the time, and played an inter-service game against Army, and someone trod on my foot as I changed direction, and it snapped me ACL on my left knee. That was reconstructed by a doctor called Greg Witherow over here in Perth. He does actually quite a few of the West Coast Eagles and Fremantle players.
Yep.
And I bounced back pretty good and managed to get to some reasonably high-level cricket again, but I gave basketball and football in at that stage, and that was in 97-98. And deployed to the Middle East, and they had a compulsory sports day, which involved a game of Aussie rules. And, you know, without any warm-ups, any training, I decided to come out of retirement.
Oh, God.
You know how this ends.
I do.
Yeah. Another reconstruction on the right knee.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and whilst that went well, the reconstructive surgery, silly old Richo decided he could still play touch footy. For half the season, I played on the wings and was, you know, happy as Larry, scoring tries, and all I had to do is run in a straight line and get past the ball. But one day, when majority of the centres were out, I thought I was good enough to get back in, and clearly I wasn't, and bang, knee reconstruction.
You're very lucky that you're in the Defence Force, that they cover that, because some people have to wait you know, years.
Well, exactly, yeah. I won't bother with the details of the fourth one, but I was lucky enough that I'd used all my ligaments up by that stage, and Defence were trialling Lars knee reconstruction, so I was lucky enough to be able to get that because I didn't have any ligaments left to use. So after that, that's where I quit everything. I took up umpiring in cricket and got to some reasonable standards of umpiring, and toured New Zealand and Australia umpiring the Defence Force national teams, but all sports gone, too many...
Well, country-wise, how many countries you been to?
Are you talking about for work or for my holidays?
Well, for work.
Oh, well, it's pretty difficult to give you a number on that one because some of that I can't really discuss, but a number of them.
Yes.
So I guess we're probably better off moving on to my holidays.
Yes.
No, it is like, I mean, yes. I've been to probably three or four, but I won't discuss details.
No, that's fair enough. Now, your card collecting, where did it start? Where did it come from?
Card collecting, yeah, that's an easy one. I remember vividly how that started. I was in Melbourne, and I'm not sure if I was on a course or I was still posted there. It must have been maybe on a course, and I busted a pack of 1993-94 hoops.
That was your first packet of cards?
That was my first pack, and I hit the face-to-face Magic Johnson, and I can't remember who's on the other side of that card.
I remember those cards. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a foil, and it had one person on one side and one
yep.
other. And I was like, this is awesome, and that's it. I kept going back and buying packs, trying to hit something else, and I have a bit of an addictive nature. And so then I started going back to, you know, 90, 92, 93, 91, 92. Obviously, I was into sports, so I was into Michael Jordan and followed Michael Jordan and ended up becoming a Michael Jordan collector. And that continued well into the late 90s up until he retired. But that's at the stage where... You could go into any shop. I was back in Perth at that stage. You could go in a shop and you could sell them, literally, your cards.
Yeah, well, that was here as well. You'd open the pack and sell the cards straight away.
Yeah, and I remember I sold a stack of double Michael Jordans that I'd got from 92, 93 Fleer, because those cards were going off at that stage, if you remember.
Yeah.
Team leaders and all defensive team and all that sort of stuff. I got a couple of $100 credit in a shop, and I spent it all up on, you know, basketball hats and T-shirts, and I was loving it. And I think I had $50 left, and I spent it on 10 packs of 19, I can't remember the year, it was a green pack, 1994, 95 select.
Yeah.
And I had a Peter Dacos redemption signature in it.
You are tinny. You are very tinny with the packs.
Dry spell. There was a very long dry spell there, don't you worry. But yeah, of late, very tinny. But that got me hooked on AFL, and that was at the point where I switched across to AFL. I still collected basketball at that stage, but as Upper Deck produced more and more,
yes.
more products, and there was so many Michael Jordans to collect, I ended up retiring that collection. I still got it, or most of it.
Yeah.
And moving across to AFL, it was just a little bit more achievable for me to try and collect the cards I wanted. It was just too many Michael Jordan cards.
Oh, that's when that massive saturation happened and a lot of people dropped out of NBA.
Exactly, yeah. And that coincided with Michael Jordan retiring. And that obviously took a big bite in NBA. There wasn't anyone anywhere near as good as him to watch. But still, there's a lot of players that you look back on, you know, Charles Barkley, Dan Marley, Zoe Thomas, that you watch, Larry Bird, and you love watching them.
That's in every sport, though. Look at the Australian cricket team at the moment. There's no one to really latch onto. We've been blessed in the last, you know, previous couple of decades to have really good characters and great players, and it's kind of, it's hard to fill those shoes, isn't it?
Yeah, apart from Dave Warner, you're right. I mean, obviously everyone's into Dave Warner.
Well, you had once in a generation Ponting, once in a generation Warne, Gilchrist, McGrath.
Yeah, and the person personalities that came with it too.
That's right. And that's what sport kind of lacks for mine, even with AFL, with the characters. The characters are, there are not many characters left in anything. They kind of coach it out of you now.
Training. It's a media training they have.
Yeah.
Same responses to everything. That's why, you know, you get players like Alex Rance, who's on the footy show, and like Dane Swan, and you watch them because they're not that standard character where, you know, they feed you the same responses. There's something different. So I used to love watching Dane Swan on the footy show.
Yeah, well, he was something different.
Because of his personality.
Yeah. So did you ever stop collecting cards at any stage, like most of us?
Yes. I didn't stop collecting cards, but I stopped collecting, you know, what I was collecting at the time. So the NBA, I rested up in, you know, the late 90s and moved across to the footy. And then there was a bit of a lull in the footy. As I went to different postings, it became more difficult to find. I think I went to Sydney, and it was obviously hard to collect AFL in Sydney, so I switched across to cricket.
Yep.
Cricket cards. So I've got a bit of a cricket collection.
What is your passion, though? Because you collect a bit of everything. What's the one thing that... Is it cricket?
At the moment, yeah. West Coast Eagles.
But is it cricket in general?
Only Australian cricket, yeah. Cricket cards are sort of... Mostly autograph cricket cards I collect. I don't just collect them all, but, yeah, mostly the autograph stuff.
Because you've got an extensive cricket collection.
Yep, I do, yeah.
So is that your biggest love, though, or not?
Is that my what?
Biggest love.
Definitely one of them, because when I was younger and I had to choose between cricket and football to advance through to higher grades, I was better at cricket, so I couldn't spend all my time training at football and cricket because, you know, you end up getting injuries in both one or the other and affecting the other game. So cricket was where I went higher than most sports.
Yeah. Who were some of your heroes growing up as well?
Dennis Lilly, West Australian fast bowler, which is what I used to think I was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, DK Lilly, Rod Marsh. Later on, you could probably say Bruce Rhee, but I was brought up in the DK Lilly, Marsh, Court Lilly.
See, I came in a bit just
period.
After that, really. I was in the next generation where Australia were very bad at cricket.
Jim Hughes era.
Oh, yeah, and AB was the hero for me in that time.
Oh, AB is definitely one of my favourites, all-time favourites.
Just a little gutsy.
Gutsy batsman.
Yeah, exactly. And
yeah,
then
I guess probably cricket is a passion. As you know, I've done a few cricket tours as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So I haven't done any football tours, but, you know, I do enjoy watching West Coast, as frustrating as they can be. But I guess if I had to pick one, probably it would be cricket. I've toured and done the Lord's Tour and done a Caribbean Tour, the World Cup.
Yep.
So, yeah, you probably would say cricket was my number one. It's just that the cricket cards just don't have that following that basketball and AFL do, so you have a real...
But I reckon there was a period in the 90s, middle 90s, where there was.
Yeah, no, you're right, and I was into basketball at that period, so I think what happened was I met a friend in defence, and he was into basketball as much as I was, so we sort of fired each other up each time we got some special insert, you know.
Yeah.
Back in the day when you hit a one a box, Michael Jordan, I don't know, face to face or Total D or something like that, you know, that was your woohoo moment, as Dan would say.
Oh dear.
I can't help myself when I do a couple of videos, though. I throw a woohoo or a bang in there.
Come on, get it right. Woohoo! Yeah.
Poor old Dan.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, cricket, the demise of cricket for me, because it's not as popular as it used to be. Why do you think that is?
Well, cricket's obviously, there's one side, realistically, Australia, that people in Australia are going to collect, and it ebbs and flows with the form of Australia. I think it's certainly taken off a little bit with the Big Bash League, so there's, you know, domestic sides that have got followings now because they've got some of those superstars. But where it dropped off, I don't know. I couldn't put my finger on it. I just don't think.
Is it the too much played?
Nowadays, yeah, I think there is, but.
Because, I mean, once upon a time you look forward to summer because you were going to see those cricket stars you hadn't seen for, you know, 6 months or whatever.
Yeah.
Now they're on your TV 24/7.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. I've never really thought about it, but if you think about it, you know, they're in the news all the time. If it's not 2020, it's 50 over.
Or it's a meaningless tour to India or a meaningless tour to Bangladesh or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, and you only got to look at some of the preparation that they get nowadays for a test series. You wonder why that's happening when they would normally be playing, you know, several domestic series games for, as a lead up rather than jetting all around Australia. But I guess that's the nature of the game.
It is, and it's funny. I was having a conversation with someone the other day about, they were talking about Alan Border, and they said, "Oh, he wasn't that good." And I said, "Mate, he averaged 50."
You're kidding me, aren't you?
No, they said, "But he only averaged 50, and he only averaged this against that." I said, "Every country when he was around had quality. West Indies were best in the world."
Oh yeah, exactly. It's easy to average 50 when, you know, have a look at the pitches nowadays.
Correct.
They're all roads.
I mean, and then he goes, "Oh, New Zealand wouldn't have been good in that time." I said, "Mate, they had Hadley, they had Martin Crowe, every team had quality."
Richard Hadley, one of the best all-rounders in the world. But yeah, the Australian pitches were fast and bouncy, and you had four West Indians coming in and just throwing them at 150 at you. Alan Border was definitely one of the best. Unless you were at those test matches and you've seen how fast that ball went down the pitch, you got no idea.
No, exactly.
All the pitches now, if you don't go over to India or Bangladesh where they doctor the pitch to become a dust bowl, you come over to Australia and they're all roads.
Yeah, correct.
You know? There's nothing in it for the fast bowlers. That's probably why they're all breaking down.
Could you ever see cricket cards coming back and making a big statement?
I thought they started to, with the cap and plays release, I thought that there was definitely an interest there with the selection of signatures and inserts that they had.
Are you talking about the Big Bash where they had the big names?
Yeah.
Yeah, that first year of theirs I thought was really good.
So I don't think it'll ever come back as big, but I think the 90s was sort of big for everything, and that was just happening to be when the AFL was taking off again, when Select was in its infancy. And
yeah.
So, you know, Select's got bigger from there, whereas, you know, they dropped off on cricket and they've dropped off on
NRL,
rugby and stuff with AFL. There's got to be a reason they did that.
Yeah, true. They don't do things for no reason.
Exactly. They would have seen the numbers coming in for, you know, what was being bought and what was popular, and cricket was the first to drop off. So that's got to tell you something about, you know, how hard it is to keep that cricket card market going.
And that last year, the 09, I think it was the last year of cricket, that was a cracking release too.
Yeah, the Selects one, yeah.
Yeah.
It was. That's the one that had the Bradman re-introduced into the series.
That's right.
Yeah, and that was a good release.
Definitely.
It was a bit of a shame when Select dropped off because they was quality cricket cards. It's interesting that you can still buy those boxes sealed from Select. So
yeah, true.
Just to wonder, and that's what the 90s, just how many were they selling?
Yeah, 40,000 boxes and 50,000 boxes, you're thinking, hang on, four.
Yeah. So what did they produce in AFL this year? 7,000, was it?
Wow, what was it? 720 cases of 12. So work that out.
Oh, I'm not that good at math. not 40,000 anyway.
Not on the fly, no. No, not that many, no. Now, your love of West Coast Eagles, how did that happen? Because they weren't in the comp when you were a youngster.
Yep. So some people that know me well know I'm an East Perth Life member as well.
Yep.
Played little league for Swan Districts and East Perth. And when I was young, I lived...
In those days, you were in the Jodfers, weren't you, in the ankle boots?
I was too, yeah. with as big a sprigs as I could find, so if I stood on someone, it hurt.
Okay.
Now, I lived in a place, or a brother called Thornley, and down the road from us, Barry Cable's brother used to live.
Okay.
And we would go for a kick in the park, and very occasionally, if Barry Cable was visiting his brother, he'd come and have a kick with us. And so I sort of ended up being a huge Barry Cable fan, so I followed him from Perth to East Perth. And as you know, he went over to the Kangaroos, North Melbourne, so that's who I supported.
Yes.
The Cracker Brothers, Shimmer, Wayne Schimmelbusch, so those sort of players.
Yep.
And then in 1986-87, when West Coast started, one of the most famous North Melbourne players captained the inaugural West Coast.
Glendenning.
Yep, Ross Glendenning. And so that's how I transferred back across. Being I was a West Australian, it just made sense. So Kangaroos are sort of like a second side for me.
How was the feeling in Perth? Did everyone get behind the Eagles, or was it there's still a bit of the VFL's not the big show we are kind of thing?
I'll be totally honest. I can't remember.
Okay.
Honestly, 1987. 86 is when they were established. 87 was the first season.
Well, 87, you would have been 30 then, so...
17, mate, 17.
Oh, you'd have been partying. You wouldn't have been worried about the
footy. I was worried about passing out of high school, to be perfect. So, yeah, I don't have a real good memory of how that felt to be in the state when it happened.
Okay.
Fortunate, because it was an important stage in their starting of the West Coast Eagles. But I remember the 90s very well, because that's when I was in Melbourne again, training to become a radio technician, and I remember going to the games and copying the abuse if West Coast actually won a game.
Yes.
I remember beer cans being thrown at me and...
Well, they were winning a lot of games in those times.
Yeah, I remember going to those games. And then, obviously, I remember I went to the game at Waverley where Hawthorn spanked us.
Ah, yep.
Yep, in the grand final. But I managed to back that up and watch the 92 grand final and watch them win. And that's when I left Melbourne and ended up in Sydney in 93, 94, all the way up to middle of 1995 when I managed to get back to Perth again.
Now, you've been lucky enough to get to a lot of grand finals as part of your work as well, haven't you?
Yep. In Melbourne in the last 5 years, I went to four of the five grand finals. The the production company that produces all the music usually asks for about 80 volunteers from defence to push out the speakers or the stages.
Yep.
You don't get paid, but you get a ticket to the grand final. And as you saw when I bumped into you and Rob,
you did, yeah.
Up there, you know, the ticket gives you pretty good access to most areas.
And you get to go on the ground.
You get to go on the ground, yeah.
The hallowed turf.
Get stuck on the ground when you can't get your stage off quick enough.
Actually, what's the feeling? Do you ever look around when you're on the ground?
Yeah, it is an electric atmosphere. But at the same time, the times I've been on the ground, I wasn't supposed to be on the ground. The stages were supposed to have come off a lot sooner and then they couldn't get them apart. So we sort of got stuck on there waiting for instructions and told to hold tight. So... it was hard to take it all in because you're sort of waiting to see what am I supposed to be doing. But in the end, we just sort of stood there and watched, you know, them get their medals. And
yeah.
So, yeah, but definitely when you look around, you just see everyone, you know, 100,000 people. You're thinking, feeling pretty small right
now. Do you take it in? You have a look around and see the crowd and go, oh, wow.
Oh, definitely. It's amazing. It's unbelievable.
Like, do you get nervous? Because you're not playing, but you're on the ground in front of 100,000.
I think it even might have been last year. Yeah, it was when you were there that we pushed off one of the light panels and it fell over. Did you remember seeing that?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a little bit nervous there. But by the time we got it, we picked it back up because it weighed about, I don't know, 200 or 300 kilos. It was heavy. And we pushed it off. There wasn't any jeering, and I realised that no one was even looking at us. They're looking at what's going on the ground. So after that I went, oh yeah, it doesn't matter. You're just another person in a black shirt and black pants running around on the ground. They don't really take notice of you. So, but I was a little bit nervous then.
Yeah. Now, the Whacker's finished. They're not the Whacker. Subi's going this year.
Yeah.
Now, you got banned there for streaking, what, in 2003, wasn't it?
you messed that one up because 2003 I was back in Richmond. So,
what's the feeling like now with Subi in the new ground?
A lot of confusion, to be perfectly honest, because none of the members currently know where their seats are in the new ground, and they don't know what their ticket prices are going to be. They still haven't been told. So there's a lot of, oh, should I hang on to it or should I not? Because I know my mother-in-law's got four memberships.
Okay.
She doesn't know if she's going to hang on to all four because she doesn't know how much it's going to cost, and she doesn't know what seat she's getting allocated. So there's a little bit of confusion. There's a little bit of confusion on how do we get to the ground, because it's not, there's not like a purpose-built train station to get there either at this stage. So
okay. What's your best memory from Subi Echo?
Oh, Subi would be one of the state games where West Australia beat Victoria. I couldn't know which one, but I remember being at a couple with my dad.
Okay.
In the early 80s.
Oh, they were huge. That was brilliant for us, because it used to be on like a Tuesday.
That's right.
And for us, it was just after school. It was about 3:30. So we'd come home from school and get to watch it and see different footballs and some players you'd never heard of. And
exactly.
I think we're the kids and whoever's grown up past that time have missed out on something, because it was a good time.
It was. But I totally get why they don't have it now.
Yeah, agreed.
Whilst it'd probably be a novelty to watch, if you're a passionate, you know, Adelaide or West Coast or Sydney supporter, or even Carlton and Collingwood, you don't want your premium player going out and risking serious injury for a state game while it means a lot to the states, come grand final time, you got your best player out, you'd be thinking, oh, why did he play that game? So I totally get what's going on.
I get it, but isn't it funny? It's the total opposite in NRL.
It is, you're right, yeah.
It's the total opposite. They'd do anything for the state.
Time in New South Wales, and I got right into the state of origins for a period there, and I couldn't put my finger on what the difference. It's obviously just a culture.
Yeah, definitely. Now, your passion with West Coast Eagles cards, when did you start thinking, well, I'm going to start chasing everything?
Well, I would have started collecting West Coast from the moment that I hit that Dacos. So I do remember chasing all the cards from that year, because I went and bought a couple more boxes and hitting all the inserts and then going back from there. So I can't remember what year that release was. It was either 94 or 95. I think it was 1995 it would have been.
95 was the day, cost, yeah. 94 they had those signatures.
It had to be 95, because in 94 I was still in Sydney. So, yeah, it would have been 1995. And then I just started chasing them all back from there, you know, 94, 93, 92. Yep. And that was it. It was, you know, West Coast or nothing. I never decided to go for an individual player or any other team. It's always just been West Coast. But up until recently, until I have had a little bit of luck with the boxes, yeah. I know you said I'm a bit tinny, I never really got any of those big ones, the big chase cards, because I had a real dry spell after that Dacos 1995. I didn't hit any big card till again in 2009.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So it was almost at the point where I was like, I thought everything was rigged. And you know what? Because I was buying off eBay, it probably was.
Well, that's it. People didn't understand searching boxes and...
No, and that was my first time I'd ever been what was called a case share in 2009. You know, I won't speak about who it was, but yep. I went in one and I hit a captain's signature redemption. Dan Mitchell.
Okay.
Did the flipper, flipped it within 30 minutes, right?
Oh, Jesus.
And that was it. I was never buying a box other than in a case share from then on, and then my luck has changed.
It has. Now, the flipper name.
Flipper name, yes.
I think I penned it.
You did? I could even probably name the incident that caused it.
Justified or...
Oh, definitely, definitely. But would I be the biggest flipper on Eureka? Not even in top 10.
No, probably not.
But I'd wear it with pride.
You do, and you took it on the tune and played with it, which was great. You've done a few sales threads using that.
Yeah, people had a chuckle at that.
Yeah, they did. But what do you think of collecting today? Have you seen the changing? Because once upon a time, people actually did collect.
Yeah, now there's a lot of bulk buying and flipping, isn't there? You know, it's almost like a gamble.
It is, to a degree, yes.
Gambling. It's like gambling. And look, you know, I'm a gambler from way back, so I get that too. There's a little bit of an addiction and there's a little bit of a thrill in it. It's almost like buying a scratchy. But if you don't win, you still get something that you keep for it. So
yeah.
The difference between now and back then, obviously, was back in the 90s, it was a massive gamble. To hit anything big back then was...
Yeah, it was hard, very hard.
...near on impossible, which is, you know, why it took me, I don't know, 10, 15 years to hit my first ever Jordan signature card. But now that they come out so often, it is almost like a scratchy, but they don't come out with the same value as they once had.
Well, talking about the difference in that, I was buying those 1996 Elite cricket cards. I don't know if you remember those.
I do. That's the chrome one.
They were chrome, and I was paying $6 a pack then. And,
yeah.
And chasing the insert set that was called the Specialist.
Yep.
I think I paid $20 for one. And then the other day I saw someone selling the whole set for 30. I nearly had a heart attack. I thought, oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. When I see that, I try not to look too much.
Yeah, I look away because I've still got that sitting in a folder somewhere.
Yeah, I didn't collect that series, but I'm sure there's a series, a very similar story that I've got.
Because in those days, for me, it was more about I didn't really care what the ratio was. It was about the look. I liked the look of the card. It was chrome and it had one in a thousand. It didn't really pay any attention to that.
Yeah, I definitely did, because I'm a numbers man, so yeah, I used to get rather chuffed on something that if I hit something, it was 1 in 100. Yeah. Even if it sold for $5, it was, oh, I'll hit the 1 in 100. But I remember that set that you're talking about because once the NBA craze came to a bit of a grinding halt, when Jordan retired and all those shops that had decided that
they're everywhere.
It was in a makeshift card shops. I was here in Perth, and I remember there was at least three or four shops that a friend of mine called Steve went to all these shops and bought up, you know, Upper Deck boxes for $5 and $10 a box. And I remember those cricket ones being like, you know, $1 a pack. And I thought, I wouldn't have minded getting a few of them, but there was like only a half a box left. It was just to clear out, and that's why I remember those cards, because...
It's funny you say that, because
$6 or $7 a pack.
I used to go to the market, and at that time in that mid-90s, there was a bust in everything, even footy. A Hall of Fame set came out that year, 96.
Yeah.
And in the end, they were giving away boxes, like $20, $10 a box, and couldn't sell them.
Oh, wow. That was that set, the 1996 Hall of Fame set. I bought one box, and I didn't hit anything special, and that was it. And that was probably one of the few series where I've only ever bought one box, because I wasn't really taken by it.
Well, no one was. They all go, ugh.
Wouldn't we all like to have a few more of them under our sleeves now?
Oh, the lucky ones that do. I've seen a few in some people's little garages. They're sitting on a few cases. Won't pass them on, though. Be good fun to break one of those.
About a 2008 case, that would be a good one to break.
Yeah, it would be. I've got one sitting there too.
Don't I know it?
You do, but I don't know. No one's got one of them left, so I might sit on that for a bit while longer.
Oh, I'll be sitting on that one.
It's become like the Hall of Fame. It's only because of those platinum...
Platinum
draft picks.
But, yeah, getting on to your question, what do I think of it now? I love it. I think... what Select's brought out in recent years, probably back to Prime is where I started really.
Yeah, Prime was good. Look, even Eternity was the first one I started buying cases. I thought, nah, I'm buying cases of this.
Yeah, okay. Eternity, I guess, wasn't because of West Coast. I don't think it was a real West Coast strong presence in Eternity.
But it was the first, it was a comeback of those patchy style cards. It was the first of that, which ended up being a bit of a, meh. But it, the thought of it was like, oh, okay, this is interesting.
Yeah, well, Prime was where, 2009, I hit, the best card I've ever hit was the Captain Signature Redemption. But Prime was was where I first started being known as tinny ass, as you might put it.
Yeah.
I hit about four or five redemptions, and I liked the concept of the premiership redemption that they brought out. I liked the gold. Prime draft cards, that's it, yep, I like them. And then they just got better from there. But now where we're at now, I start to worry, you know, are they bringing out too much? Are they saturating it like what Upper Deck did to the...
I'm worried for that too. I reckon it's on a real fine knife edge right now.
Totally agree.
And if they put any more in it, I think it'll tip over.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, there's already signs of that now when you see the sale posts going up on, you know, Eureka and the AFL pages, and you look at them and they're selling those certified signatures for $20 each. It's like,
and they're numbered to 240.
240 of them, and you're selling them for $20. I just can't do it. I'll sell them if people ask and I want to help their collection out, but I'd rather just sit them in my collection than sell them for $20 a pop.
Yeah, well, it makes no sense to guys like me and you who have been brought up on the DPS that even they're numbered to 400 and they're going for 60, 80, up to 100.
I know. But, I mean, you know, as we've spoken about before, the reason that they still go for that is because, you know, they're not being broken now, so it's not so easy to get one.
Yeah, that's true as well.
So much of this stuff getting broken because it's so popular, it saturates the market. Eventually, as we move on from year to year, you know, I think that they'll start to be harder to get, and the true value will start to be found out because there's some quality signature cards in those.
Well, you're finding that out now with the first honours one.
Okay.
That tumbled, but the draft pick signatures in that are that quality that, I mean, Bontempelli goes for $100, Cripps goes for $100. There's a bunch of SIGs there now that,
yeah,
and they're number two, yeah, whatever, 300, 400, whatever they are.
There's the ultimate question. Do you like the draft pick signatures or do you like the certified signatures?
We had this conversation in a podcast early days and I reckon they should do one of each. Keep the certified because you want someone who's established.
Yeah.
But bring back the draft pick signature.
Yeah, if you're going to have two SIGs of each team, one could be a draft pick and one could be a certified.
Exactly. It's not hard to do, surely.
Oh, that's a win-win if you ask me.
I mean,
draft pick signatures definitely could be duds.
They could be, and that's why if you've got a second one and it's a established... I was wrapped this year. I actually pushed and kept saying, got to do Cade Simpson before he retires. So to get a Cade Simpson auto and a Carlton jumper on a select card, I was over the moon. So I like that aspect of keeping an established... But, yeah, like I said, you want your...
I mean, West Coast signatures were not strong this year at all. And when I say strong, they weren't near the top 10 players. Last year's were good. They were McGovern and Yo.
Yep.
This year was Hill and Scully. But, you know, most people from the outside might not think that they're all that popular. But within West Coast supporters, Schofield's, you know, one of our favourites.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a good, hard, gritty player that always tries. So to have his signature on a card, I was rapt with that. I know it's not going to be, you know, a Taylor Adams or, you know, something like that that's going to fetch good Collingwood.
Yeah, but sometimes, you're right. I would have loved to get Heath Scotland for Carlton because he's only SIGs in a Collingwood jumper, but he played most of his career. They weren't doing certified. He was a warrior for us and probably not high profile, but to Carlton people, mate, he tried his guts out every week, you know.
Subject of players that are crossed over, you know, I can't put Kennedy, JK,
yep,
in my collection, the Carlton jumper on, I can't do it.
See, that's where we differ. I have done it, but sometimes it backfires. Like, I've got Lockie Henderson in a Brisbane jumper. Now he's at Geelong, he's only stayed for a short time. Now it's, at the moment, do I just get rid of it because, you know.
Yeah, I did buy a JK draft pick signature and I had it in for about a week and I went, nah, I can't do this, and I flipped it.
Well, yeah, it's a, you know, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, kind of thing.
So, I've just stuck with the principle of, in a West Coast Guernsey and I'm still umming and ahhing on the future course. I'm
still humming and hawing on that.
You have been getting them, though.
I have, yeah. I love the concept, but I haven't gone down the path of the gold and the greens. I've just gone the plain ones, you know, signature cards, that is.
Okay.
Can't justify the money that some of them go for, especially in the early days.
Well, that first year, 212, some of them go for crazy money.
Yeah, well, West Coast didn't have any that year, so I didn't have to chase any.
Oh, you would have been the next year with Dom Sheed.
Dom Sheed, 2013, that's right.
Well, that's also, with players trading clubs here, there and everywhere, Future Force, is it
good or is it bad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's good, obviously, because the same as the old footy cards product, if they, like, you know, Elliot Yeo, he was in a non-player jumper, so you can just go, well, I've...
That, yeah, that's a positive, yes, I agree with that.
Switch my card to my collection, but then even if he stays, he's not in your team jumper, doesn't have that affiliation for me.
See, for the flip side of mine was Troy Menzel in 212. I went hard and paid up for the gold and the plane, and he's gone. And now, is that a Carlton card? Is it not? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I paid overs for Clem Smith. I think he played 7 games for Carlton and delisted. Is that? You just don't know.
Look at the West Coast ones from Footy Cards. One of them died.
Yeah, Mascoulis.
Car accident. Mascoulis, yep, and the other one went to jail.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and I went hard on his cards, and luckily I saw the light before it all went pear-shaped, and I got rid of most of them.
That was an interesting product, wasn't it?
I liked it. I loved it. I really did.
You did well out of it, that's why.
Oh, the flipper came out, yep. The flipper definitely came out, but... That was back before you...
That paid for your trip to Disneyland, didn't it?
No, that paid for my expensive mountain bike.
Oh, there you go.
Nah, Disneyland trip, nah, that was probably a payout for one of my knee injuries, mate.
Oh, jeez.
I had that knee back any day.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you do travel a lot.
I do.
You love Disneyland.
I love it. Love Disneyland almost as much as I love cards.
How many times you been to, and what different ones have you been to?
I first went with my wife for no kids in 2003 after my first deployment because I was cashed up.
Yep.
That, and then it was a long time between drinks after that. 2010, I went to Disneyland again, so that was the second time. And then friends who had kids the same age as us went with us in 2014, and we went to Walt Disney World.
Okay.
And 15, we went to Hawaii, so we went to the Disney Resort in Hawaii, and last year we went to Disney Hong Kong.
So you've been 6-7 times.
Is it 5, isn't it?
Well, maybe 5, I can't count. At the
3,
moment.
10, 14, 15, 16, yeah, 5, yeah.
And you got another one?
Go next year.
Yeah.
Go back to Anaheim next year, haven't been there for 7 years, so...
And yeah, you've got two little ones that would love it.
Yeah, they adore it. And I guess when I first went with one of the little ones is when I enjoyed it even more, seeing the enjoyment in their face, seeing all the characters and getting hugs from them all. They love it.
They do. Every little... And even the big kids, mate, us, everyone loves Disney. How can you not?
Yeah, yeah. You've been a few times.
Yeah, I've been 3 times to Disney. I love it.
Yeah. It's the happiest place on earth.
It is. It makes every... we grew up on Disney, I guess.
Yeah, Disney cartoons, etc.
Yeah, and Saturday, Sunday, the Disney that you'd see the Tinkerbell hit the thing and the castle would light up and...
Yeah, and I won't sing it, but the MICKEYMOU.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that on a Sunday afternoon.
Worst ride at Disneyland, though. It's a small world after all. Oh, geez, it went on and on and on.
Yeah, look, it's not exciting for an adult, that's for sure, but the kids love it. The kids love it. They love picking out where their country is. Oh, there's Australia, there's a kangaroo. Looks nothing like a kangaroo, but I don't know. We love going on that ride. It's just purely for the entertainment for the kids.
And what else do you collect, Richo, other than cards? Anything?
Oh, geez, a little bit of everything. At one stage there, I was collecting stamps. But once again, those stamps had to be sports related. Then there was you know, silver minted coins and, once again, sports-related stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, coins, and there was a period there where I was collecting old turn-of-the-century 1900s brooches, so gold brooches, so that I could have them repaired and fix them just because I loved gold. And I collect Star Wars stuff. I collect Disney stuff. It's out of control. It's a little bit of everything.
It is, but it's very hard for you with your movements, isn't it? You can't hang on to too much.
No, I can't just stick it in a garage and go, yep, that's part of the PC now.
Yep. Yeah. So at the moment, what are you sticking to?
Well, obviously AFL. That's a tough question. What am I sticking to? Define that, sticking to.
Well, what's in your, you know, you wake up and you check eBay or you do this or you know.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. So what's the immediate thing, yeah? So, because there was a period there I was even collecting Lego. You remember those architecture Legos?
Yes. Yeah, you did the Opera House.
I did, that's right. Yeah, I was collecting them for a little bit. No, at the moment I would say it would be, obviously, AFL and Star Wars. You got me hooked on that goddamn Masterworks set.
Star Wars, you're always a fan?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I had all the figures and that. Went to all the movies. Collected all the original Star Wars cards in the 80s. I remember going to the delis and buying them.
The Scanlan's ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are they now? I have no idea.
I've still got my Return of the Jedi ones. I know where they are, but I don't know where any of the other ones are, and I had them all as well.
My parents claim that I sold them all in the market before I joined the Air Force. I remember doing it, but they've got
no. My mum does that stuff too. I asked her where my Voltron figures and Castle were, and she goes, oh, no, you got rid of those ages ago. I said, no, I didn't.
They dumped them all, didn't
they? They've thrown them. Yeah, it's just. And now the sad thing is I've kept all my kids' toys, but they're that mass-produced, I don't think they'll ever be worth anything.
That's exactly right.
Other than a memory, which is good enough anyway.
Well, you know what they say about toys as far as collections go? If they produce a toy as a collectible, then it will never be worth anything.
Yeah, you're probably right there.
You know why? Because it's produced as a collectible, so it's stashed and put aside as a collectible.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They're never destroyed or damaged, so they're all in pristine condition. So you can always get them, whereas if it's a toy that's produced to be played with, they're the ones that become worth money because people bash them and smash them and lose them and break them, and so therefore that thousands that are produced are no longer thousands, there's only hundreds, and that's how they become rare.
It's like I pulled out something out of the cupboard the other day. It was those footy coins and the cricket coins that the Herald Sun produced.
Oh yeah, I remember them.
And I looked on, I just thought, oh, what are these worth now? They'd have to be gone up. The footy ones are from 1987, I reckon they were. They might be 30 years old. Mate, you can pick them up for $20.
Yeah.
It's like they've gone nowhere. They cost that back in 87.
That's exactly why. That's exactly what I was saying, you know.
Yep.
If it's produced as a collectible, it'll never be worth anything because people treat it as a collectible, store it like a collectible, and then, you know, however many thousand are produced are always still there because they haven't been played with, lost, broken. I mean, that's why the Scanlan's footy cards are worth so much, because people stuck them in the spokes of their bikes.
Exactly.
They flicked them, they burnt them.
Now, also, with what we just heard, your biggest get in footy, you Captain Sig, what's your biggest get in from a pack in the other things you collect?
Basketball, I hit, everyone's probably seen, I keep producing it because I'm so chuffed with it, is my SPX Jordan and Julius Erving dual signature that I hit.
Yep.
Back in, I can't remember if it was 2008 or 9, the old Dave and Adams Card World had specials and was selling those boxes for 50 a pop, and I went halves in a case with my mate. He had a Kevin Durant rookie auto, and I hit the Jordan SPX dual sig.
See both.
The 25, and I did laps around his house.
Which you would.
So that's that. That'll never go. That'll never leave my collection. You could offer me double what it's worth. I've been told it's worth about $1,000.
Yeah.
1,100, but I wouldn't get rid of that one just because of the joy and.
Yeah, and the memory of it. That's right.
Memory of it, yeah. But cricket, what was my biggest cricket hit? I'll probably. I don't really have any. I've got some big purchases, but not really any big hits.
You're sitting on the Heritage set, aren't you?
Yeah, but I bought that. That's what I bought out of the money when I flipped the Sam Mitchell Captain Signature Redemption.
That's a beautiful set.
It is magnificent with the Bradman Signature.
Yep.
It's got all of them in there. Fantastic set. The story behind it's quite interesting too. Because there was meant to be another set, but they went bankrupt.
Ah.
Yes.
That's so interesting.
It was meant to be a second set, that, and that ended up being produced by, was it ESP?
Yes.
Yeah. Remember they brought all the rest of the captains out, and some of them were facsimile sticks.
That's right.
Yeah, well, I've got that set as well.
They're cracking sets.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. That's a brilliant set. Actually, that was probably the Draft Prospects footy cards that paid for that for me.
Are you eyeing off anything else? What's on your must-have list?
I still don't have any captain signatures for West Coast, so...
So you're chasing Kemp and...
Yeah, that, and I think the 2005 Chris Judd Signature Redemption. I don't have that one yet in West Coast gear.
Oh, you didn't buy it? I thought you bought that one.
No, it was the 2007 one I bought.
Interesting story behind that one, too, yeah.
Yeah, the one that I just did for Vola.
That's right. So you're missing a couple of captain sigs and that Judd.
That's it, yep. So they're my, I guess, end of the rainbow stuff. But
Yeah. Well, everything's achievable these days, so it's not a...
It's easy to just go and save up the money and buy it, but part of the fun is the chase, and part of the chase is getting it for a price that you feel that's a bargain.
Correct. I mean, I'm missing three cards literally, and I've got everything Carlton Select has ever brought out, and I could go and buy them now. There's $350 for a Favola 03 retro, but I paid $150 for the Kudo. I can't justify paying $350 for the Favola.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, because you want to get it for that bargain deal, so you feel it's almost like hitting it in a pack, because you go, bang, yeah, I've got a good deal there.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
And I've seen the Bruce Dool case card SIG, but I'm not paying a grand for that. That's just crazy.
That's tough, isn't it? What series did that come out of?
11, I think. Infinity.
And you just got to start doing some more Infinity breaks.
You can't get the cases, otherwise I'd be hammering those. 11 Infinity all year.
Knowing you, you'd probably get it and someone say, oh, can I buy a spare case? And you sell it to them and then...
Wow.
Case card.
Don't talk about that. 44 cases. One case card SIG and it went to Gary Ebbles.
Wow, 44?
Yep. Insanity.
Unbelievably crap odds.
Anyway, I won't go into that one.
Surely you've got to hit one soon.
Well, I reckon it's probably winding down now. Probably won't get too many more. Future Force about to drop and the under 22 sets, and then it's back into Footy Stars again.
When's Future Force come out?
November.
Yeah, I thought it was November. So are you getting back into the little bit of non-sport space then?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a market for that again. I think people like it disappearing, and then when it comes back around and shows start again or whatever, brings a bit of interest into it. Look, to be honest, doing those is a lot of fun. You can get some massive, massive names. I mean, in the last 12 months, I've probably gone overs and, I mean, I bought about three or four Stallone autos that cost an arm and a leg, and an Arnold Schwarzenegger one or two that, you know, but they were heroes of mine growing up, so.
Did you end up getting that Al Pacino that came out of, was it Al Pacino that came out of recently, or one of your Americana breaks?
No, I don't think he's redeemed that yet.
Kidding?
No, I'm not sure. That was a dual signature, but I've got a few Al Pacinos as well.
Yeah, I know. You got a few of them.
Hoo-ha! Well, it's 11:45, Richo, in Victorian time. It's been great chatting with you and learning a bit about you, so I hope everyone enjoys knowing a little bit more than you, that you're not just the old flipper. There's a bit of substance behind you. It's been a pleasure to have you on, and Hopefully you get those West Coast cards you're after.
Yeah, one day, and you'll probably see them on the page about 15 million times, and you'll ask that usual question: for sale or for trade, Rich?
Well, if the right offer came, I think you'd sell them, put it that way.
Oh, mate, if it's the right price, everything's for sale. Wouldn't be the flipper if that wasn't the case.
Well, great to have you on, mate. It's been fun. We've gone through an hour real quick, so it's been like it was 5 minutes.
Good chat, and thanks for having me, and a special thanks for not throwing me any slippy questions.
You thought I was going to throw you under the bus, and I told you I wouldn't.
You do like to do that from time to time.
Yeah, that's private.
I've got some time marks, so I can prove it.
Yes, you would have. All right, mate, been good chatting.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, well, that's it. That's it, guys. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I think it's number 6 of Days of Our Cards. We'll be back in the mode of doing one a week, so stay tuned for more good fun in the near future. Thank you very much.